Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sarah Main, and thank you for joining me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. It's great to have you join me. Damayanti means deep peace and calm. Damayanti sheds a light for your soul through the gift of wisdom that shines in the beautiful and universal language of Sanskrit. Damayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Hey everyone, welcome along, welcome to Damayanti, the show for your soul with me, Sarah Main. And today's show actually follows on and talking about attitude and intention, our emotional ground. And it's all about from darkness to light. Today's show is about from darkness to light. And there is a beautiful Sanskrit prayer that asks to be taken from darkness to light. So how can this be done? And this does flow on from talking about our attitude, our intention, that we as human beings, which are spiritual beings having a human experience, we have free will. We have absolute control over what in Sanskrit is called bhavana, our attitude, our intention, our emotional ground. But to begin with, before I get back into that, is I'm going to chant to you the beautiful Sanskrit prayer that has the line from darkness to light in it. So it's a Sanskrit prayer from the Upanishads, the Upanishadic tradition. And it's the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And it's a short prayer, but a very profound and beautiful prayer. It says, "Lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to light. Lead me from death to immortality. May peace and peace and peace be everywhere." So the Sanskrit, Om Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotir Gamaya Mrityor Ma Amritam Gamaya Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. And the line, "Lead me from darkness to light," is Tamaso Ma Jyotir Gamaya. Tamaso Ma Jyotir Gamaya. Lead me from darkness to light. Okay, now this flows absolutely from what I was talking about in a previous show about the one thing that we have absolute control over. So go and check that show out. Have a listen to it. And there's a great story in there about two sages devoted to worshipping Lord Vishnu. And so they're performing the same devotions, but they have different attitudes, different approaches, and therefore different outcomes. So remember, the only thing we have absolute control over, free will, is our attitude, our emotional ground, and in Sanskrit, our intention. And in Sanskrit, that's called bhavana. Bhavana literally means a place of abode, a mansion, a home, a dwelling, a palace, if you like. It means coming into existence, birth and production. So think of home as a place where we rest and gain nourishment and then are basically born every day. We come into existence every day. After we rest in sleep, we are birthed each day, really. And the place where anything grows, notice anything, there's no judgment about whether it's good or bad. So the responsibility is on us to be discerning about what is placed there that will grow, right? So that's a responsibility that as human beings we carry. And emotional ground is a very accurate description. That's the one I was taught. Think of a seed planted in that ground, that emotional ground. Think of coming into existence. Think of growing. Think of manifesting. Think of being and becoming. think from that ground nourishment is derived. So be discerning about what is planted there, okay? Because Baha'u'llah, anything can grow from that, okay? So there's no judgment about whether it's good or bad. This happens impartially, and Baha'u'llah is just telling us what happens. So the responsibility is on us as to what is being brought into existence, what's being manifested. That's up to each of us, and this takes discernment. And discernment takes awareness. We all have that as a natural function within us, that without awareness, our discernment is sort of dull or inoperable. It gets covered over, a bit like clouds over the sun. So without awareness, we operate, we react habitually from habitual familiar emotional attitudes, intentions, and emotional grounds. And that creates the outcome, and it creates the same outcome, you know, same old stuff. So Baha'u'llah is not the end of the situation. It's the beginning. It's the start. It's the place, the ground from which all manifests. So that's really important to anchor that understanding of Baha'u'llah. Because that's where we can change things. And this is about leading from darkness to light. So how does that happen? It's not just like asking someone to do that for us. Only we can do that, actually. And the story I was telling in the previous show at the end, it's a very traditional story, but it's about the divine godly messenger Narada, who's a messenger of the great Lord Vishnu. It's from the Indian mythological tradition. And Vishnu sends Narada round the world to check on his devotees, make sure they're okay, and if they have any questions for him, to bring them back to Vishnu. And Narada goes off and he meets one sage, you know, he's on the earthly realm, and he meets a sage who's been meditating and doing all these disciplines, and it's tough, and he's a bit miserable and, you know, downcast, and this is hard, and he's carrying on. And he says, look, you know, and the sage does the right thing and offers Narada hospitality. And Narada says, well, what questions have you got for the Lord Vishnu? You're worshipping him. And the sage says, well, you know, how long have I got to keep doing this? This is hard. And Vishnu says, okay, I'll send that back. I'll take that question back. I'll come back at some point with an answer. Then he finds another sage who's just happy that Narada's turned up. He's just always happy and dancing and singing and, you know, just upbeat, even though he's doing the same devotions. And Narada says, well, what questions have you got? And the sage says, well, look, I don't really have any, you know, really. And Narada presses him and he says, look, I don't. And Narada says, well, don't you want to know how long you're going to have to keep doing this before you're, you know, transported to the heavenly realm and with your Lord? And the sage says, oh, well, you know, okay, if that's what you want, sure, great, that sounds good. So Narada goes back to the divine realm and gives these questions to Vishnu, and time passes, and then eventually he's back on the earthly realm checking on the devotees as the messenger, and he comes back with these answers, and he finds the first sage, and the sage offers him hospitality. And then Narada says, well, do you want the answer to the question? And the sage says, oh, okay, I guess so. So he hasn't shifted at all, really. And Narada says, well, see that bowl of fruit in front of you? And there was a bowl of fruit with three pieces of fruit in the bowl. He said, see that bowl of fruit? You will be transported to the heavenly realm in as many lifetimes as there are pieces of fruit in that bowl. And there were three pieces of fruit. And the sage goes, oh, that's terrible. Oh, gosh, okay, all right, I've got to keep going. Oh, this is really hard. So Narada then goes on to the second one, who's always happy, and, you know, he sees him and he's delighted to see him again, and he offers him hospitality and all of that. And then Narada says, well, do you want the answer to the question? And the sage says, oh, yeah, that question. Oh, sure, you know, if you want to. And Narada says, well, look, it's bad news. And the sage says, oh, look, okay, fine. So the bad news is, he says, well, here it is. See that tamarind tree? And, you know, the tamarind tree's got millions of leaves on it. He said, it's going to be as many lifetimes as there are leaves on that tamarind tree before you will ascend to the heavenly realm and be with your Lord Vishnu. And the sage is dancing and singing and excited. And Narada says, I've just given you really bad news. It's going to be like millions of lifetimes. And the sage says, I've just had a message from my Lord that one day I will actually be with him, like for a certainty. That's wonderful. And at that moment, there's this flapping of wings, and Garuda, the great, I think it's an eagle, some great big huge bird that Vishnu flies around the world on, appears and lands, and on the bird is Vishnu himself barefooted. And he said, in the face of such devotion, all rules don't apply, and you can come immediately. I ran to you barefoot in such devotion, with such a great attitude. You're free immediately. And the sage and Narada jump on Garuda with Vishnu and fly to the heavenly realm. So that's just a story that illustrates that changing your attitude is a game changer. In a sense, the rules don't apply. What we think is action, reaction, and then the outcome don't apply. And that's what it's illustrating. So it's really important to sort of come to this. And it's not always an easy thing to come to, because, you know, we have habitual set points, and psychologists can talk about this, where it's where we kind of feel anchored in ourselves. And sometimes these can be limited, and that's where we get these habitual reactions. And I certainly, in the last year or so, have really been looking further into what habitual set points, emotional grounds, I bring to certain very familiar situations. And it's been incredibly useful, like places where I just automatically get irritated and annoyed. You know, at home, like I'm at home with my husband and he'll do something or say something and just click and you're irritated. You know, people talk about trigger points, okay? Well, the responsibility is in us not to expect him to change. Why should he? If it's just him, it's perfectly innocent. The responsibility on the irritation is with me. And it's really habitual, totally familiar. And I've been working on this. I've actually been remembering the mantra, prema. And prema means love, universal love. And I've been remembering that. And it's been transformative, because I find now I spot the irritation and immediately something just reminds me to let it go and to remember love and embrace the situation in love. And it has been an absolute game changer. So that's just come from really deciding to take some responsibility about habitual emotional grounds and attitudes. So remember, the theme of this show is from darkness to light. And this has been definitely taking an area of my life that was an life experience that had some darkness around it, where I got cross and annoyed, and it's brought light and love. And that came from my decision to put my attention on the emotional ground around certain situations. So I'm going to stop and take a break. And after the break, we're going to talk about how we can move from darkness to light. Simple practical tips for bringing this change in our life. We'll see you soon. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to Damayanti, the show for your soul. And today's show, we've been talking about from darkness to light and coming from the beautiful Sanskrit prayer, Asato Ma Sadgamaya. We've been looking at the line, Jyotir Gamaya, lead me from darkness to light. Let me find the line. That's right. Tamaso Ma Jyotir Gamaya, lead me from darkness to light. And all of this is based around Bhavana, the emotional ground, your attitude and your intention. And this is my second show. It's been on a theme that both shows go together, part A and part B, part one, part two. So it's worth listening to both. The first show is the one and only thing you have absolute control over. And hint, hint, that's your attitude, your emotional ground, your intention. No matter what the situation, you have absolute control. You have free will and therefore the responsibility over your attitude, your intention, and your reactions and actions that flow from that, of course. And well worth listening to both because they do go together. So from darkness to light, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya in Sanskrit, lead me from darkness to light. This is all about changing our attitude. And if we do that, it changes our life and our life. And before the break and the previous show, I told you the beautiful story, traditional story, with so much wisdom in it about these two sages and their different attitudes and therefore different outcome. So it's really important that we sort of get the message and realize that we have responsibility. We have free will, and therefore the responsibility is with us. So if we find ourselves sort of blaming someone for doing something that annoys us, right? I'll say that again. If we find ourselves blaming someone for being annoyed, that we're annoyed that because of what they're doing, then we need to actually stop and have a look at that whole premise, because that's based on they and them. And ultimately, this is about I and we. It's personal responsibility. That's where the change comes in. And the personal responsibility, sometimes you can't change a situation. It is what it is. So it would appear. But what we do have responsibility over is our attitude, our intention, our emotional ground. And that's what Bhawana is all about. Bhawana is that home. It's the place of existence, of growth, of birth coming into existence. It's the home, a dwelling, a mansion, a palace. So you think birth, home, growth, existence, they're all related. And it's the place where anything grows. And notice the anything. That's up to us what that anything is. And from darkness to light, that's where our responsibility kicks in, our free will. To choose that which leads from darkness to light, which always elevates, which uplifts, which brings light, which brings love, no matter what. Now, that's not to paper over situations that do need to be addressed. Of course, there are situations that are unlawful and unjust or not right or whatever it is. We do need to address them, but we address them from compassion, from understanding. And sometimes we do need to have full and frank discussions, and clear and decisive action needs to be taken. But it's always from the point of view of leading from darkness to light, and not to produce any other outcome. That is our personal responsibility. The example I gave you before the break, there were, I, you know, look, I've been married to my husband for 37 years at the point of recording this and making this show. And I've known him for 40 years. So I knew a few years before that. And, you know, as you go along, you get so used to each other. And there are things that just irritate you. Right? And I'm sure I do things that irritate him, but he has a different emotional set point, right? There are things that are just, ugh. And you just get used to that. And I started thinking about, I don't know, I just sort of really wanted to address this, you know, after 37 years, about time. And that little irritations that you just sort of every day, you don't even pay attention to, but I thought it's time to pay attention. And I thought it's purely my reaction. It had nothing to do with him. I said, you know, he's got every right to do what he wants to do. These are little irritations, daily irritations, and I'm sure you recognize them at work, at home, with your kids, family, whatever. And I started by just looking at what set me off, what was the trigger, because it was instant, this irritation. And I just started bringing awareness and presence to it, number one, and just not reacting, just letting that emotion play through. And then I started to sort of, actually the attention went a bit deeper into this emotional realm, into this emotional ground, this Bhavanaa. And there's no great revelations, other than I just wanted things to be the way I wanted them to be, and that whatever he did just irritates. And all I did was remember the mantra, prema. Prema in Sanskrit means love. And actually on my website, I've got a whole collection of jewelry, the prema collection. And I thought, well, I've got this collection, I'm going to use it. So I actually just remembered that word, prema, prema, universal love. And it was really interesting, because over time I have noticed that that hard energy that just wants it the way you want it, you know, it almost sort of makes you clench your jaw, and it's all sort of a bit under the surface, quiet, you know, you don't say anything necessarily unless you're really prompted. It started to soften and relax and ease and just accept that things are the way they are, and that's not a bad thing. And that, it's been an ongoing thing. So the key point is, don't wait until it's difficult. Start working when it's really pretty unchallenging, just minor irritations on a day-to-day basis. You know, release when it's easy, as Lester Levinson said, release when you're high. Don't wait until you're down in the depths, all right? And high meaning just your energy's elevated, not really under pressure. Because we do have these emotional set points, these emotional grounds, and in order to transform, we need to actually get our attention on them. Okay, so how do we, what are the practical tips for bringing light and awareness and moving from darkness to light? Well, it's very easy, easy in the sense that these practices are traditional. They're long held, they're well tested, and trust me, they do work. But try them in your own experience and then you will know. Try them, be open-minded and try them. So how do we change this, your attitude, your intention, your Bhavanaa, your emotional ground, your emotional set point? How do you move from darkness to light? Because there's enough happening in the world that we do need to address this. How do we move from darkness to light? Well, I've got three practices that you can try. The first one is from the Upanishads, and it is to ask yourself, what would a wise man or woman think or do now? What would a wise man or woman think or do now? Ask yourself that. Stop and ask yourself that. And it will bring some discernment. Think of someone who you consider to be wise and ask yourself, what would they think or do now? And then follow that. Another one is, in following it, sometimes it feels like you're faking it till you make it. It doesn't feel like, that's what I had to do in order to start softening that tight, hard set point I had with irritations with my husband. And these are just little niggles. I felt like I was faking it till I made it, right? And in Shakespeare, he said in Hamlet, assume a virtue though you have it not. Assume a virtue though you have it not. In other words, fake it till you make it. But over time, I've noticed it shifted, but I was determined. I thought 37 years of minor irritations is long enough. And the other one is, ask, what am I grateful for now? What am I grateful for now? Three very simple things. Try them and see whether it brings awareness of your emotional ground where some darkness can lurk, because this is all about leading from darkness to light. And we have absolute control over this. We can do it. And we have responsibility for ourselves and for the world in at large to be a beacon of light, bring light energy rather than dark energy, be positive rather than negative. Lead me from darkness to light. So good luck with it. And if you want to find out more about Damayanti, go to my website, damayanti.store. There's beautiful jewelry there with mantras on them for your personal reminder. This one's my Balam necklace, which means strength. That's the mantra Balam, meaning strength. And you can get them at my website, damayanti.store. There's also an archive of all my shows that are streaming there and my book. And there's a blog with lots of articles. Again, from darkness to light, lift your energy, do things that inspire you. So be inspired. Go to my website, damayanti.store. And to finish off, I always love to finish with some Sanskrit. And so let's finish with today's prayer, which is has the theme from darkness to light. It's from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The English is, lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to light. Lead me from death to immortality. May peace and peace and peace be everywhere. Om Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So remember, from darkness to light, may peace and peace and peace be everywhere. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you for spending time with me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Damayanti or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, damayanti.store. That's damayanti.store. See you next time.